Blog Talk Radio.
I got you looking. I got you looking. On me like I'm an incomplete pyramid, cause my swag is on top. Yeah, I know y'all notice it. So far from limited, platinum without a hit. My triple nap ride, that whole fin slip. Acting like you on my team when you the lion shit. Your fake game is weak, hater, you need to quit. I work hard for what I got, and so deserving it. The best is in my future, now that's a perfect fit. My swag ballin', rhyme swishing like a chef, my verse is cooking. When I thrust, the bed shookin'. It's my fault. Now she hookin', her snatch is wet. While she tookin', stuck on stoop like she from Brooklyn. I'm the best, y'all still rookin'. Call my agent for the booking.
Yeah, Matt Franco, aka Big Stack. I relax your mind and let your body reach climax. And even you too says I got J-Lo wet. Don't you know that this is a fucking set? MSFP does that pussy right. It's like medicine to make you feel alright. This beat like Hot Bar Part 2 with Primo and the MSFP crew. And all the chicks there, they wanna screw. Hit me and skip the tune. So now girl, you know what to do.
That's Got Him Looking. That was Got Him Looking by my group, the MSFP crew. We're going to have a great show for you. We're going to have, we're working up the kinks, so bear with us. Last week we had to move all of our shows to this week because of system maintenance, and we're still working out all the kinks, but I'm committed to doing a Big Stats Idol Hour every day this week, including our very special Thanksgiving episode. So if you're listening, make sure to call in to the station and let us know what you're thankful for. I'll be posting the event link on Facebook and the link to it will be available to see on both our Twitter and Facebook page. Our Facebook page is, you just search Big Stats Idol Hour. And then for our Twitter, you type all in caps, it's Big Stats Idol Hour. We're supposed to have a special guest DJ with us today because and let's see if he's with us. Evan, are you present? Okay. Unfortunately, if anyone's on the line he's supposed to run the system today. I'm going to try to get onto the computer and check to see if anyone's on the line. It's not my computer, so bear with me, and we're going to see if we can get something going for us today so we can have an awesome show. I have a couple more Radio MSFPs, which is my YouTube series that I'm going to film this week. In fact, three of them that I should be filming this week. And it should be exciting. So I'm going and seeing if we could check something on the system real quickly. So if you're on the line, I'll be able to check it in hopefully momentarily. I'll be able to get on the, like I said, I'm not in my own studio today. And let's check real quickly if anyone's on the line. If not, we will showcase the first part of the compilation album, Idol Compilation Volume 1. So let's check the soundboards right now. And remember, you're listening to Big Stats Idol Hour. And like I said before, make sure to check in for our Thanksgiving show and let us know what you're thankful for. The show is open for anybody. You can be an art. You don't even have to be an artist. You can just anybody who wants to call in, let us know what you're thankful for. And if the person is on the line and wants to respond back to you, if you're thankful for certain individuals, they can do so as well. All right. So bear with me. We'll have some music playing shortly. And that's a special cameo appearance by my own father doing our waiting music. This is definitely one interesting episode. Let's see what we got going on. Let's go into the studio, onto the digital studio. And we do have a caller on the line. Let's speak to our caller. Hello? Come in, caller.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah. This is Blake Brad from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. We're actually gonna make this a three-part interview. And talk to you a little bit more today.
Okay.
So how did you ever come to the point of coming up with your name?
That's an interesting question. I've seen a mural, a painting, and also about like reading the Bible about, you know, Christ breaking the bread with his apostles and with a bunch of people. He was like preaching to on a mount, and it just registered with me because, you know, I have that type of heart. Like, I don't do things just for myself. I got a message behind everything I do, and, you know, I like to help people out, you know, any way I can also. So, you know, I just chose that name for myself, and it stuck.
Nice. Very nice. So, last time you were on the line with us, you mentioned that you sang in the churches when you were younger. How has that influenced the hip-hop that you do?
I would say it influenced the hip-hop I do by adding more. Like, what I noticed today is, like, a lot of things, well, my opinion, and I hope don't nobody get offended by me saying that, but if they do, they know well. But I just feel like, you know, it's been dumbed down a lot, and I don't feel like, you know, lyrical content and not too many artists even have a storytelling ability anymore or anything to offer in that aspect. And I prefer to be a storyteller and to make people think and, you know, to relate to people's lives in that aspect. You know, so coming up in the church and, you know, doing gospel music, it helped, you know, just broaden my horizon on the type of things I thought about, what I witnessed, and also just life in general, you know, because, you know, most of those people that's going to the churches are really going through some rough things, you know, and most people don't know that, you know, and, you know, it's a story behind everything, you know, so I took the time to find out some of those stories as well as my own. And, you know, put it into my music.
All right. So what would you say was one of those most inspirational stories?
I would say, like I said, last interview, was kicked out of my home, like, really early. I would say around, like, maybe 15, 16 years old, sleeping on a bus stop, not knowing where I was going to go. just wondering how I was going to survive from day to day and, you know, getting from place to place and, you know, just trying to actually, like, seriously think about living. For the first time, I had to actually really think about where I was going to lay my head at and how I was going to eat and support myself, and I was forced to grow up before I was actually grown. So, you know, that was the most inspirational because it brought out a whole plethora of feelings about, you know, people and showed me what I was made of also.
Right. All right. So, is there that one song that when you perform that, you know, I think everyone's got that one song that always the crowd finds is magical, always gets the crowd hyped. What's that one song for you, too?
Oh, it's so many on the album. It's hard for me to choose, but it's a story that I noticed, like, that registered with It's a song called You Lied, the prison theme. And I wrote that, you know, for like most of the people that was in jail that lost their home, I mean, you know, and their family, trying to provide for them, you know, not having another way to do so, or they didn't think they had another way to do so. And, you know, when I do that song, for some reason, people really identify with that song. It's a real heavy song, and the lyrics are real heavy in it. It's like I'm talking to, I kind of wrote the song as if I was talking to my wife from a prison cell and telling her the things that was on my mind. And, you know, even if she was with another man, I understood about it and the reason why I was in that situation, you know. So it was like a real deep song, you know, to write.
So how do you think being a family man, having a wife and so on, affects what you write?
It's amazing because it really, I would say, it affects a lot of what I write. You know, just hearing what's on the radio nowadays, and you know, listening to my kids, you know, spit these lyrics that these rappers are portraying nowadays, and you know, these lies they're perpetrating nowadays, and you know, and just making people believe that things are not the way they really are, and just seeing them trying to imitate these things, it has a deep psychological impact on me. So the way I write is to change, you know, that type of style. I would like to see hip-hop go back to, like, the era where it meant something, like in the 90s and 80s
right.
And stuff.
Definitely. That's like the golden age of hip-hop. Truly is. So, if you had to name the five artists that influenced you the most in music, who would it be?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I was interrupted for a second.
If you have to name the five most influential artists that have influenced you in music, who would they be?
To be funny, I wouldn't say none of them, because even though I like their music, and I like a lot of their music and a lot of what they do, I'm a real deep studier of history, you know, so I like to write things about history and learn about history, and my rap's even influenced about history and, you know, the future and the past and the present and now. So,
current events are influenced than artists.
Yeah, pretty
current
much.
In history. All right.
To be honest, I really don't even cut on the radio even anymore. When I'm beginning a project, I would like not listen to the radio for like up to like 5 to 6 months, so I can like focus on, you know, originality and on what I want to write. Not what the industry is doing, but what I feel like the industry needs.
Okay, so, and what kind of beats do you usually like to write for?
It depends. I mean, whatever I'll screen like 100 tracks, and I'll maybe pick 3 out of that 100. So I'm very selective about the tracks I pick. It has to speak to me.
As an artist, you have to be. And I think I've also under the belief that as an artist, you know, you can pick tracks that almost go against what the lyrics you're portraying are, because it's about the artistry. You can, like, you can do a beat track on a dance beat. And,
right.
Yeah, it's about the artistry.
Right. And like I said, you know, you can, it's like an automatic process with me. If I feel a beat, my hand just start instantly writing lyrics. So I know what is a fit for me and what's not. I have my own niche. I'm in my own zone and I'm in my own pocket. Now, I can write outside of it, but I prefer to use, you know, something that's speaking to me, because if it's speaking to me, then I feel like it'll speak to somebody else.
Right.
So most of the time, the song just writes itself out.
And so do you usually find that you write more from history and current events or personal experiences?
More personal experiences. It's like a combination of both. You know, I try to, it's a message behind a message, but most of it is like really what I'm going through. I don't try to be, you know, I even put in my lyrics, I'm not trying to perpetrate to be a thug. I'm not soft either. You know, I was in the Marine Corps, and, you know, I have discipline and morals and all that stuff, but, you know, trying to thug out, that don't register to me. You know, it's about being a man to me. And it's about being, you know, responsible for your artistry and your music.
Right. So, on the subject of artistry, what do you think? What is your opinion on artists who write their music versus artists who have others write their music, or co-writers?
I look at it in two ways. Some people, you know, had a natural talent that they can write their own music, and some people need help with that. To, you know, I guess to come across a certain way, but I also feel by them writing or taking somebody else's material and trying to make it their own, it kind of comes across a little uncomfortable, because it's not them that they're talking about.
Right. I mean, sometimes it can be songs that are based off what people know of them, but it's still not them.
Right. It's not them completely, and you can also, you know, hear about the ghostwriter, and most of the times the ghostwriter even tell you sometimes in a interview, you'll be amazed that, like, a certain person wrote a certain song for another artist. And you'll be like, wow, I thought the artist wrote that song, but they had nothing to do with it. They just sung what they were told.
And that's in all genres. I mean, yeah, I know it's slightly off topic from hip-hop, but I remember when that that Britney song Piece of Me came out, and I was so pissed off when I found out that she didn't write it, because I'm like, I figured that that's like the biggest fuck you to the people who are hating on her. Anyways, to get back on
top,
I was saying that even though it's a different genre, I was kind of pissed off when I found out that because it seemed like such a great fuck you to the people that were who are hating on her.
Mm-hmm.
That Britney song Piece of Me wasn't written by her. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, apparently it was a bunch of researchers who looked up all these things about her and the paparazzi and were imagining how they'd respond if they were her.
Hmm.
And that's how the Ghostwriters came up with Stone.
And also, I think it's kind of like crazy, like the people with the, you know, I would say like the least mediocre talent, you know, they're making it more successful than the people with natural ability, you know, and I think that's because they're willing, I guess, to play the game to a certain degree, and I really, really is not for that and interested in that. I feel like, you know, everybody artistry should speak for itself. They should put it out there and see what flies, not just because somebody willing to, you know, do a certain favor for a certain person or, you know, or bend over backwards to do what another person wants. I mean, they're all artists, and if you signed them, then it had to be a reason you signed them in the first place, so why hold them back? I feel like you're delaying your profits as well as theirs. You know, why not put them to the test and see what they can do?
I mean, I'm in the belief that because I have nothing against songwriters, but as someone who's also an artist myself, I would make sure that in the creative process of creating the song that I would have an input. When I do my music, about 95% of it is fully written by me. Some of it is a collaborative with the group that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like 1% of it is a collaboration with a ghostwriter, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's always parts in a song that sometimes, you know, somebody may mention something and it may be a good idea or fit for that, you know, so
right.
There's nothing
sometimes
wrong with it.
Say things that write something for you that you can actually relate to.
Right. But the thing is, I just say you got to be able to take it and make it yours, too. You know, I don't see how you can speak on someone else's story if it's not your story, you know. So I was always told to be accountable for my own, and you can talk about what you ain't lived, so.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I'm definitely one who believes that you got to tell the story.
Yeah, it's much to be told out there that's not being allowed to be told. If you, like, look at the whole, not just hip-hop, not just, you know, rock and roll. It's a lot of things I'm starting to, like, notice a pattern that all of this stuff is pretty much starting to sound the same. And it's no originality in it.
Right. So, who do you think in the game is really representing for hip hop right now, and who do you think is, let's just say, not?
To be honest, to see who's representing for hip hop right now, I would go with the older guys. To be honest, I like, you know, Andre 3000 a lot, you know, a whole lot, and that's because, you know, the stuff that if you really listen to him, a whole lot will go over your head if you're not listening. And he's teaching.
Yeah, I hear
the
they're
same
even
time.
Having a reunion. They're,
yeah,
they're
Outkast is a great group, and I love that group. I would say, if I had to pick anybody that would say somebody that would influence me, it would be them. But as far as the, you know, younger generation, I keep hearing Kendrick Lamar name. I keep hearing, you know, the Black Hippies, and, you know, Nothing's Wrong with That, Nipsey Hussle, I like him. There's a whole lot of, you know, people out there that are representing, but what are they representing is my question, you know. So what are the industry making them represent? And if they weren't told what to represent, what would their music really sound like? And that's what I keep in my head.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can't. I what I always say is, I'm a flat out say it on air. Other than that, that one track, Feature Phone, I think, I flat out think Soulja Boy's whack.
Yeah. I agree. I just think that was a fly by night thing. You know, everybody got their one hit wonder. Not to hate on the guy. I mean, I think he's a heck of a businessman, and I applaud him for that.
Oh, he's a great businessman.
But
he
the music,
something
else.
He had one good beat that got him noticed for one track, and he had one really good song, and that's that Kiss Me Through the Phone song, and mainly because he got that other dude to do the hook.
Yeah, another person, Lil B, you know, me being from the South, I even say Trinidad James. You know, I don't really think his music about much. Once again, not hating, but I'm more about the content, you know, I'm more about the lyrics, you know, what you're putting out there. You know, so I'ma always feel like that. If you got something to say, then, you know, I'm all for it. If you just putting, like, you know, somebody like, I looked at J. Cole's Crooked Smile, and I really listened to that, and that originated with me, and I like J. Cole a lot, too.
Yeah.
So I think he got something to say. I don't think he's been able to flourish like he's supposed to. It's a whole lot of them. I just felt like just been held back. They really got, you know, talent, and I just really wanted to see what they could do. I just wish the, you know, industry was a little freer with what they would let them do.
Yeah, I think a lot of the best artists out there really flourish when the industry loosens their reins and just let them be them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people, they can tell. I mean, you know, just because you have a scarf and bandana on your head with 6 or 7 gold chains don't mean you're hard. You know, I know a guy like me, if you would look at me, I'm young in appearance and, you know, a meek and humble guy. But probably 75% of them, if they was to, like, swing on me, I probably would really mess them up. You know, or they wouldn't even see that coming. You know, because I don't carry myself that way. So,
right.
I mean, you know, I don't feel like you got to be trying to be something you're not. People can tell what's real and what's not, especially with music.
Definitely. And why play dumb to the listeners? The listeners can know. The listeners will know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and speaking of the listeners, has there ever been one comment that after a song you performed or that a fan said to you that almost resonated with you in some place?
It's a song I wrote called Bad Blood, and it was about basically when I was going through a child support issue with my child's mother, and you know how I felt about that, because I wanted to be in my child's life, and I felt like she was taking it away from me just being ugly for no reason, because to be honest and 100% truthful, I hadn't done one thing wrong. So it was kind of like almost a paycheck situation. And I wrote about it, and I performed that song in front of females and males alike, and I chose to do that to see if the female out, you know, would get offended by it, or would they be like, wow, they could see their self in that, or be like, hey, is it there to be guy like that too? And I got some comments from some women that was like, man, I really like that song. It's the truth. I haven't heard anything like that. And you know, this court system stuff, it does really get ugly, and it's pitiful. So, yeah, that would definitely be one of those songs.
All right. So what... let me think how to phrase this. So what kind of energy that you were feeling when you were performing that song?
It's kind of like I'm reliving the whole situation. It's like I don't even see anybody no more in the crowd. If they're in the crowd, I don't see them. It's like a zone I think every artist go into where you can be looking right at a person, and they may think you talking directly to them, and you're off and somewhere else, you know. You know, just it happens that way. Yeah, you just in your zone. And yeah, certain songs that I just take off, and there's certain songs that I want to be there for. I want to see how they're going to react to it, you know. So, yeah, but that's definitely one song that every time I perform, I'm pretty much not on that stage.
Right.
I hear, like, a lot of artists say that, you know, a whole lot, you know, like, I actually had Lil Wayne say at one time, he was like, I'll be looking at a person and make you think I'm talking to you and I'm not even looking at you. And I think, you know, that could be for nerve reasons, or it could be for comfort reasons, or it could be for just who you are reasons. I mean, but I think a lot of them do it because if you... Vibes got to tend to, like, rub off on people. I mean, if an artist is performing and, you know, even though he think his stuff is hot or she think her stuff is hot, and it's that one person in the audience that's not moving, and it's 50,000 people that it is moving, and you focus on that one person, it kind of, like, kills your spirit a little bit.
Right. It's like the, you know, you got to focus on the full if you're going to focus on it. Focus on the average.
Yeah, definitely so. Because it will drain you, and it will, you know, make you not, I guess, perform to your best.
I mean, definitely, I think getting locked in that zone and just letting yourself feel free, just, yeah. I think that's definitely the best thing you can do on stage.
Oh, yeah. A lot of artists I hear even say they don't even remember their performance. So, you know, I can understand that.
I know. For me, it's like an adrenaline rush. I just go out there and just do that, you know. And I'll be performing songs onto to dance beats. So I'm like moving around and like just in that zone and yeah, I'll hear the crowd cheering, but I'm so focused on. And on the performance that, you know, I really don't fully see everything until like I watch it back on like a video or something.
Yeah, there's a whole lot you're missing while you perform. That's definitely
yeah.
True.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm on the stage and I see some hands there, I'll like give some fives, you know, really get really hyped up with the crowd. Yeah. So that's Yeah.
It was actually funny because when I was like first starting out, I performed in front of these. It was a music competition down here, and one guy, he was hating on me. It was like everybody else, you know, they just expected me to be like, you know, top notch for some reason. I don't know if I had that look or what it was, but they just expected me to like just go out there and kill it. And I did. The first verse I got through, and you know, everybody was just sunk in. And the second verse, I kind of like just, for some reason, you know, my heart had went out of it at that moment. I don't know why it happened. It just happened. And
yeah, you
got
to lose. Yeah, it's like, I think it's pretty much like Eminem says, you got to lose yourself. Because, I mean, to it. I know, you know, people, you know, will expect things. I mean, I'm in an all-white co-ed hip duo, you know, so they're judging me right as soon as I step on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
what was so funny about that incident that, you know, everybody else had positive, you know, comments to say. It was like, man, your writing skills and rapping ability is crazy. But I had this one guy wanted to be like a Randy Jackson, and he actually told me that I should quit rapping. So I kind of like laughed in his face because it was kind of like a joke to me that he would say that, right? So
yeah, Randy Jackson's kind of a hater, I'll tell you. Pat,
yeah,
personal experience.
I seen him 3 months later at another competition, and I rapped again. This time, he wants to be on Team Break Bread. He wants to be on the bandwagon. Man, you were superior. You were great. You were blah, blah, blah. And I just walked off while he was talking to me because I remember what he said at first. You the same guy just told me I should quit rapping. Now I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, so yeah, I kind of think it's funny when people do things like that, you know.
No pun intended, but yeah, it's like he wanted to break some of that bread.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't say it the first time, but the second time, he definitely caught it. So, and when I actually seen him, I made it my intention to amp it up so he could see I wasn't nothing to play with.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that there's haters out there because they challenge you to be better.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I heard Jay-Z once said that, like, every record company he went to when he first started out said no. And I'm like, just in awe of that. Like, you know, people with those type of talents, and you're saying no.
And then
what are you not saying?
Yeah. And then he built the door for himself.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they want to come along and, you know, get a piece of the pie and, oh, well, we'll pay you this much amount of money. But you had the opportunity first to take that and to do something legendary with it, and you passed. And I think a lot of artists are being done like that, and that's why all of these independent labels are being started, because they're sick of it. And, you know, they just want to weigh in. And, you know, I just think, like, if they really, like, took time on artist development like they used to, and, you know, and really market these artists like they're supposed to, man, a lot of artists will be doing big numbers. And it's a shame that people not selling past, quote-unquote, 100,000 records. That's nothing. I got, like, 300,000 YouTube views right now. So for me, that's like, okay, what's that? But, I mean, that's not really like nothing. I mean, you
right.
know, some people don't get there, some people don't, but I feel like it's all in a, you know, the marketing and promotion department. You could be the greatest artist in the world, but if don't nobody know about you, you ain't gonna sell a record.
Right.
So I feel like marketing and promotion.
And then there's also the instant hype that dies down.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video that I posted, an artist that I work with who happens to have a voice that sounds like Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted this video up, you know, marketing it as Tupac is alive within Crown.
Hmm.
And within a week, it had it got up to like 720 views,
mm-hmm.
and then it sort of stabilized.
Mm. I mean, I think it's good if a person sounds like a person. That's cool, but you know, I think everybody should, you know, do their own thing, sound like them.
Right.
You know, because especially in hip-hop, I hear a lot of hip-hop, everybody's starting to sound the same, and it's kind of like a sad thing now.
Right.
I can't, tell Drake from Lil Wayne and Lil Wayne from Kendrick Lamar. I really can't, you know, to be honest.
I laughed because when I first heard Drake, And then I heard him flip to singing, and so the first thing that came to my mind was, I think Lil Wayne had some singing lessons, because the rapping sounds exactly the same.
Exactly the same. And I mean, everything that's coming out is sounding exactly the same, and it's like they think we're not listening, like we don't notice that. And I'm like, come on, man, it got to be somebody that sounds different.
And the fact that they're so, the label boss, you know.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to leave it at that. And I'm going to have you come back in same time a week from today.
That's what's up. Thanks for having me.
All right, and make sure to... And other artists out there, make sure to check out our website, BigStatsIdleHour.com. And also make sure to look at our parent site, MSFPInc.com. That's MSFPInc.com, where you can check out all the projects that I'm involved in. Listen to past and present episodes of Big Stats Idol Hour. Listen to music by my group, the MSFP crew, as well as music that I've produced. Learn about the discography of the independent music label MSFP, as well as learn about my foundation, the Big Stats Cares Foundation, where you can actually donate, helping form a foundation that benefits special needs children through music education. All right. It's been a pleasure having you with us, and we'll see you next time here on Big Stats Idol Hour. Peace.
Peace.